This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial. You're listening to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
On this Sunday morning, another Sunday morning here at K108. It's time once again for the Carol Cox Show this morning. We got some guests in the studio, and, well, week before Thanksgiving. Here's Carol.
All righty. Thank you, Francis. Good morning, everybody out there. We have Angie Pham in order, Kathy Gogel with the president and one of the founders of the Animal Rights Hawaii, and Angie Pham, who is a member and what's your title, Angie?
A board member. Board of directors.
Board of directors with the Animal Rights Hawaii. Now, what we're going to be talking about is many issues, and I invited them because so often we hear, we've been seeing these carefully placed articles in the newspaper, you know, about cats and the population, and some say they're overpopulated and there's wild pigs and on and on and on. But what is of concern to me is that how carefully these articles are placed and the timing of them. To the innocent bystander, we would never know that this is an orchestration of sort by government agencies and nonprofit quote, environmental organizations. And one thing you have to understand, a large percentage of the, quote, environmental organizations in this state are operated, owned, managed, directed, steered by government employees. And similarly, a situation in the neighborhood boards. You know, you have a lot of members on the neighborhood boards who work for the city and county of Honolulu. So don't want to project an image of conspiracy or what have you. Those are just the facts. And so we had a couple of articles recently about cats at Kaka'ako. And you might want to ask, well, who cares and where do these articles come from and how do they find their way to the newspaper? Well, one of the other elements of concern, and as we talk with Kathy and Angie, and I also have Michael Ossendorf, attorney here, who often shows up on the show with me, and he'll be chiming in if there's any questions or anyone calling in, or he might have some comments. But one of the concerns is that the animal damage control, and I always refer to them as the animal damage control, but they are the wildlife services now. And a little history, and then I'll open it up. The animal damage control is part of the USDA, Department of Agriculture, originally housed in the Fish and Wildlife Service. Well, people got a little concerned that, well, if you are the exterminator and killing animals, and it just doesn't look right for the Fish and Wildlife Service, who is supposed to be enhancing in the population and managing these species for best results in the population and their well-being. And then they have a sister agency housed in their agency that goes out and shoots everything, or traps everything, poisons everything, prairie dogs, and on and on and on. The black-footed ferret, you name it. Because they serve the cattle ranchers and airports and whomever. So anyway, having said all of that, we're going to hopefully have a healthy discussion, and I'd ask that you refrain from, we're going to arrive at a point where someone's going to call up and say, well, we should shoot the birds because they strike airplanes. Well, just so the record is set straight, do we suggest that we, all passengers that poses a risk on airplanes, that causes the airplane to be diverted, do we just take them out and shoot them too? Or do, you know, what drastic measures? Yes, birds strike airplanes, but it is not about that, but there are many other examples. But anyway, good morning, Kathy and Angie and Mike. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I'll let you start, Kathy. First, we'll talk about the City and County of Honolulu Resolution 09-311. And folks, make sure you understand, this is just a resolution now. It's not a law, but you'll be interested in finding. And if you want to call in for questions, 524-1080. That's 524-1080, or you can send me an email. I have the email up now at carol@carolcox.com, carolcox.com. And you can get our podcast later on today at carolcox.com. Okay, Kathy.
Thank you, Carol. Actually, we just found out about this rezo early last week. And it turns out that the city and county has already had a contract for several years with animal damage control for killing animals. Most of the time, the way they control them is through killing. But this contract is coming up for redoing, and it includes all of the botanical parks. And I'll read the first section so everybody will know what we're talking about. This is the wording of the resolution. Whereas populations of free-ranging feral pigs, chickens, peafowl, and other nuisance and invasive avian species have become a serious public nuisance at Honolulu Botanical Garden System, posing a human health and safety threat to visitors and employees of the gardens, damaging valuable plant outcroppings, and uprooting rare and endangered plants in the gardens. And it goes on to speak about spending just under $60,000 a year of taxpayers' money to have animal damage control go in and kill whatever they deem as not important. And that means birds that are not native, that means peafowl, it means the pigs occasionally, I think primarily at Ho'umalihia Park. I don't think any of the other botanical gardens have that problem. However, We got everybody together to send in testimony, and there were, I believe, 24 pieces of testimony submitted via email to the City Council, all in opposition of this resolution. However, it passed. I called Chair Apo's office on Friday to ask why it did, why they passed a resolution that no one was in favor of on record, and I have not received a response yet.
Mm-hmm. Angie, you spoke to the Botanical Garden people?
Yes, I did. After the resolution was emailed to me, I read over it and I tried to get in touch with the director of the Botanical mm-hmm. Garden System here, Winnie Singel. Winifred Singel.
Okay.
And after a couple of tries, I got to her and we talked over the phone. I also emailed her a confirmation of what we spoke over the phone about. But she actually never really replied until yesterday after I told her that I would be on your radio show talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So basically there's a couple of things that we talked over the phone that was a little bit of a concern to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote in my testimony based on those findings, mm-hmm. Opposing this resolution. That's how it was.
Well, you know, there might be legitimate reasons for control of an animal, but the humane control and what have you, is that given consideration, number one? There are endangered species, very few now, number two. The problem that bothers me, and I think I hope that you guys would concur with this and share with the public, is that it's not always about there are too many animals or too many introduced animals. The problem is one of the key things that pushes this is that ADC is an agency that really isn't funded well by the federal government. So they are encouraged to go out to continue their existence, to go out and farm themselves out, so to speak, or become hired guns, as Kathy had indicated. And so, in other words, they are out competing with exterminators, private companies, whereas in general in government, they don't allow that. But with this agency, for example, the United States Coast Guard can't just pick up things and transport it because DHHL and FedEx will complain that government is intervening and interfering with free market. ADC, though, they go, and remember now, they're a government agency. So
right.
The problem is they go out and they contact their sister agencies, whether in state, city, or whatever, and get a government contract. In other words, like you, if you had birds or whatever, or termites, you would hire a contractor to come to treat whatever you do, whatever, and you would pay them. Well, this is what's happening with ADC.
Absolutely, and I have from their own report for the year 2008 of total funding of approximately $4.5 million. $3.5 million of that came from their clients, which they call cooperators. So only about $1 million for all of ADC came from the federal government. So
mm-hmm.
they are going out beating the bushes, looking for clients,
mm-hmm.
and as you say, they are professional killers. They like to do it, even
mm-hmm.
though they say, well, we really don't, but that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time they use lethal neck snares. They also use leg snares, which they claim are non-lethal, but I have found pigs who have been caught in leg snares and have never been, they just died on the site. So it's very, very cruel. It's a horrible way to die. And they are promoting the use of these. One of the other things that they are doing, which really, really makes me very concerned, is that they are supporting the aerial disbursement of very dangerous chemicals. They said they dropped diphosinone on Mokapu Island, which is off Molokai last year, and they plan to use the same difasinone on Lehua Island, which is off Niihau, this winter. Dropping these horrible drugs on an island, you're hitting all kinds of non-target species, and there's no way of guaranteeing that these chemicals are not going to go into the ocean and hurt the wildlife in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable to me that they are considering doing this and are going forward with it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Carol, I think, unlike Kathy, I am concerned about that. And coming back to your point, I do get the sense that there's some kind of collusion going on with the system, and the fact that the state is undergoing furloughs, so they're taking money out of the city and county. And it seems kind of ridiculous, because in the case of this resolution, the botanical garden system, four of them are actually located in urban areas. There's only one, Ho'omaluhia, is located in Kaneohe, and that's bordering. And I think when I spoke to Winnie Singeo, she mentioned that they have had a contract with Wildlife Services for for the last few years, quote unquote. She would not really expand it on how many years exactly or how much they pay. I tried to get those information from her in writing, but I never got it. So basically, she told me that they've been spending close to this amount of $58,000 per year for just Ho'omaluhia, and now they want to expand it to the other urbanized gardens as well. And it just didn't make sense to me, because I live very close to Foster Botanical Gardens, and I've never seen any such thing. I've also been very active in the events that are put up by the Honolulu Botanical Garden Society, and basically there's very few, as far as I can see it, wildlife control that they're recommending in this resolution.
Hey, we got a call. Rick is on the line. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Oh, thank you. Good morning. Good morning to all. I want to say to the ladies, mahalo piha, for your efforts at correct usage of Olelo Hawaii.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Yes, mahalo to you.
Thank you.
No, really, I notice a difference. There's so many Americans, especially, they just, they just butcher it, and it's nothing to them. No, they don't care. I would ask the ladies, would you advocate a control of, let's say, specifically the feral pigs, and would you propose non-killing means of doing this?
Absolutely. We have been supporting for years non-lethal, humane methods of population control for all of the animals. There have been successful drugs that have worked on African elephants, on wild horses, on white-tailed deer. It's a very expensive process. It takes a long time to get these drugs put together. It's a pharmaceutical. And we would like to see the government, and definitely these very wealthy nonprofit environmental groups, put a portion of their budget into finding non-lethal ways of controlling the pig populations. We actually have a veterinarian who has offered to do spays and neuters for feral pigs if we can get them while they're quite young. And we would be happy to do that and let them go back into the forest where they would not be reproducing. The methods of killing the pigs, whether it's shooting them, whether it's hunting them with dogs and spears or snares, it's all very, very brutal, and it's something that we as a civilized community should not be engaging in.
Would you acknowledge that we do have a problem, that that these pigs have caused a significant amount of environmental damage to the native fauna, and that great efforts have been made to keep them out of areas where we are trying to restore.
Well, Rick, in the case of this resolution, this is specifically regarding the botanical garden system. And the botanical gardens are, you know, relatively small enough so you can use more humane methods that are more permanently in place rather than spending $60,000 a year on killing them. Basically, we're recommending fencing for those areas that have feral pigs problems. I think that, you know, spend a little bit more money in the beginning, but that's a long-term solution that you don't have to worry about with the feral pigs. And they can go wherever else they want it, besides the botanical gardens, which we're talking about here today.
Yes, but that's the problem. For them to go anywhere else that they want to really is perpetuating the damage that they have and are doing, you know, up in the Lahau, up there in the Kuahibi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's a problem too, you know?
Right.
Because that affects the watershed, for example. Or could, if they were not, you know, controlled. You know, on the island of Lanai.
Mm-hmm.
They are trying to restore that watershed, and it's important to plant a lot of trees, and you got to keep those pigs out of there.
Well, you know, Rick, you've got some good points, and they are valid, and I share those concerns too from an environmental standpoint. But there, I guess the problem is when people like Animal Rights Hawaii, even yourself or myself, we try to figure this out, but follow this, the conflicting situations that tend to, they conflict with one another directly. For example, housing the DLNR is, they have a concern to control pigs. But on the other hand, they are the same agency that is to perpetuate the well-being of the hunting community. So you see where this becomes nonsensical, in that we as citizens are left to figure this out, and quite often, like yourself or myself, we engage in these conversations, but the real factors that contribute to the craziness is these practices by the agencies, you see.
Yeah.
And so up in the core, up in the forested areas, and quite naturally pigs or any other species, even human beings. But on the other hand, we focus on the pigs, but, you know, we will say, well, an organization is promoting the killing or the eradication of this particular species. Here's where the problem comes. That same agency is the one who gives permits to individuals who will develop an entire 60, 70, 100 acres and destroy the entire habitat where native species were found. So it's so much conflict, and you and I and Kathy and others, you know, and unfortunately, that's where, isn't it kind of funny how we have to sort it out amongst ourselves, and then we, I've seen knockdowns and people calling one another names other than the names their mothers gave them. You know, but and that's what we need to do, and that's why I mentioned earlier in the opening that state agencies, a lot of the members of the Audubon Society work for the state. A lot of the nonprofits there, they work for the state and the federal government. So they put on a hat in the morning time, you know, right, but they will not talk to Kathy because she's for some way weird, or I'm weird, or fam's weird, or you're weird if you go in and try to tell them to do their job at 8 to 5.
Uh-huh.
But from 6 on over, on weekends, they're environmentalists. They're advocating for the animal, but on the other one, they're signing a death warrant and signing a contract.
This is true, and so many of the government agencies are involved in these public-private partnerships, and trying to get information out of them is like trying to swim through Jell-O. You just can't get anywhere. The federal government, the state government, the Nature Conservancy, DLNR, they're all involved in these partnerships. And when we try to get information, out of the private nonprofit, they say, well, we don't have to give you information about this, even though there are taxpayer dollars involved.
Right, right.
So that's a really big problem. One of the ways that we can solve problems for the animals and for the forest, for the Aina, is we have to find out what's going on first. And one of the things I'm most concerned about is taxpayer dollars being wasted on this kind of activity. Carol is right. The DLNR has this two-pronged job. They want to protect the watershed, but they are supposed to keep a certain number of animals available for the hunting community, which is a very vocal community. There are only 8,000 licensed hunters in the state, and that means brought in about $80,000 a year in income, and yet they are very, very vocal about protecting their ability to hunt.
So ultimately, your first concern is what, the humane methods or the inhumane methods of the what if you could paint a picture for the public, what are your main concerns when it comes to eradication, killing, and what have you?
Well, eradication, it has a connotation of...
Well, I mean, whatever, you know,
yeah.
Let them know, because I understand. We've talked for years. Mm-hmm. I've known you for 20 years.
Well, I think that if these animals are causing problems, and mind you, all of the information about the problems that these animals are supposedly causing come from the agencies that want to kill them. So there is a certain bias in the production of that information. But I believe that if we can find ways of humanely controlling the populations, we can get them down to zero. If the feral pigs are damaging the forest, then why should a certain population be kept just for the amusement for a certain number of hunters who want to go up in the forest and kill pigs? That's just, it's irresponsible. We should come up with ways of controlling their population. There is now a seed that can be used to control populations of birds, and we hope that the city and the state will put some money into buying that and putting it out for control. It's a humane method of keeping the birds from reproducing, and we'd like to see more of that kind of activity.
Yeah, Angie, you have anything to share with Rick or public out there? And Rick, feel free, whatever else you want to say, just chime in.
Well, Rick, you know, one of our concerns here at Animal Rights Hawaii is probably because we feel like no one is speaking out for the pigs, the feral pigs, so much. I mean, Hawaii is very much a pork-loving state. So there's a lot of contradiction in there. So on the one hand, you want to eradicate the pigs. On the other hand, you want to keep them around for a while just to eat them and enjoy hunting them for sport. So there's a lot of contradiction, and
right.
the state agencies have to act between those two. So I don't know if that's, for me, that's
possible.
A major conflict of interest right there for them to be handling this position. So I think for us, we care about all animals, including the Hawaiian animals, and in fact, we try to advocate for their survival as well. But realistically speaking, on the islands of Hawaii, it's really the humans that are causing the most environmental destruction to watersheds, to forests, to native birds, or anything else. So to pass very fluffy laws regarding, you know, our responsibility towards the environment and the earth, we kind of like blame it on these poor animals that have no real voice, no voting rights. You know, they cannot go to shopping centers and shop for their food and so on and so forth. So we feel that's really kind of unfair to the animals. But obviously, you know, we care about all animals, that's including Hawaiian native animals.
Yeah, earlier I said the native fauna, I guess what I meant was the flora. Although some of the fauna has been affected too, you know, we no longer have the mumbo bird.
Mm-hmm.
And so many, now to go see the mumbo feathers, you either go to a private collection or go to a Hawaiian hall at the Bishop Museum.
Well, Rick, do you know that one of the major reasons for the native birds of Hawaii to go into extinction is because of environmental problems, because of climate changes, and that kind of affects their breeding cycle. So it's not, and also the fact that our states have become more urbanized and they have, you know, we take over their breeding ground, so they have to move up higher and higher in the forest. You know, so all these reasons are actually man-made. It's not so much animal-made. The feral pigs are only contributing to maybe a small problem, and that can easily be controlled by humane methods.
Would you say that this feral pig problem has largely come about over the last century?
Well,
150 years.
Well, the feral pigs
have always been here.
Well, they
not in ancient times. They weren't just let loose.
No, the Hawaiian pigs were early Hawaiians were not hunters. They were farmers. They had pigs that they kept. The problem happened when the state brought in the European wild boar as a hunting resource.
Yeah.
And then they have escaped up into the mountains, and they are extremely smart animals. They're agile. They're just built for survival. And actually, feral pigs are quite wonderful animals. I've gotten to know one pretty well over the past couple of years, and they're smarter than dogs.
But also, you know, the Hawaiian also have Kamapu'a, and that's he's a demigod, and he's part feral pig, I think, part pig. So I mean, the feral pig has been in the Hawaiian culture for many, many years, and they were revered. They weren't maligned as they are now when we started having all those name given to them, invasive species.
Mm-hmm.
But realistically speaking, we're the most invasive species of all, so I'm not really sure where the logic in that.
Okay. Well, Rick, I got another caller. Anything else, real quick?
Hey, thanks a lot.
No, thank you for calling. All right.
Aloha.
All right, Ed. Ed is on the phone, and coming down to time, so Ed, go ahead. You got a question for the ladies or comment?
I just heard your last call. I guess his name's Rick on the Pokalai Nui show. I think we have a bigger problem than the invasion of the feral pigs. I think Rick mentioned about the invasion of Americans coming here. Now, listen to your two callers. I'm a Kekeokaina. I don't believe you. Are the two callers born and raised here, or are they from the mainland or elsewhere?
I don't know, but they look like they read and watch TV, so it don't matter these days.
I mean, are they from...
I don't know what that means.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, I graduated from Kaiser, and I went to University of Hawaii, if that helps any.
Well, are you born and raised here? Well, where are you from?
I think, like most of the people from Hawaii, we're not born here. The local Hawaiian population has narrowed down. I don't know. Are you a local population?
Yeah, I'm born and raised here.
Good for you.
But
so we got
the problem is, Rick brought up about the invasion of the Americans. Now, causing the biggest damage to our environment and our resources is the movement of all the people from elsewhere moving to Hawaii. That's why we have to build this monstrosity, the rail, to take care of the population and the people. Every person bring here means two cars and families.
Mm-hmm.
And so the humans or the people coming from elsewhere who want to move to paradise are causing the biggest, largest problem on this island. We cannot handle all of it.
Yeah.
Just like the forest cannot handle these feral pigs. Now, the hunters don't hunt. They may hunt for sport, but I think they hunt for the food, too, because I have relatives who hunt Waianae Mountains for pigs and goats, and they eventually barbecue it. Probably a good source for the homeless people to catch the pigs. And I have friends, relatives on the Big Island catching little piglets. They grow until they're 200 pounds, and they have a big luau. Good source of food. But anyway, I just want to mention, you're talking about pigs. I'm talking about...
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you people coming mainland on pigs.
Okay.
But they're destroying the environment just by overpopulation.
All right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, thank you, Ed.
Okay.
All right. Aloha. Well, you know,
funny. I've talked to other people, and they say, if you look at the number of federal offices that are going up, they're renting spaces in the tall, high-rise buildings, right? We got more federal managers, but yet the resources, the endangered species and the habitat that they... Now, they've been here, came here in force to protect the INA, the federalities and the state guys, and the states get the money from the feds to also help protect it. But if you look around you, the environment, as Ed is saying, is shrinking. And they, and not only that, we get these calls now. You know, take there's a recent complaint, Michael Clicks, Dr. Michael Clicks, who down in Kakaako, so he... has this thing about cats. I don't know what it is, if they haunt him at nighttime. I just don't know why any person could be so hell-bent on attacking the cats. But he managed to carve himself a niche out for the Pai Pai board there at Point Panic to have him a surf and take public time, public beach, to have surf contests for himself, right? But then he calls in and files complaints about the cats. So the question is most of this a real problem, a perceived problem? Is it a problem that's caused by the agitation of special interests? Because nonprofits, remember, they got alien species $5 million, right? And what happened? You can't even attend the meetings, right? Your input. They don't want to incorporate, but then they'll throw stones at you. So Rick and Ed, as I said earlier, we are left to figure it out. When why don't we see the federal government and the agencies fighting and saying no to development, saying no to change and channelization of the streams and building and whatever? Why don't we see the federal government saying no to the strikers and the shutting down Pohakaloa? But they'll tell you that you're insane because you want to protect, you know, you want to be in, stop the inhumane, as you say, treatment of animals. So it's all chaos. And unfortunately, it's usually the little man on the bottom of the totem pole is the one who has to really figure it out, because they're making decisions up here that leaves you crazy. You know, we hear cats. There's too many cats. Well, who's going to take care? Let's just assume that you stop and the cat caretakers out there stop feeding cats and stop giving them medication and flea treatment and what have you, and stop neutering them. What do you think the population will be? Because the government now, you know, have furloughs. So they can't even do the essentials. So what would you think would happen in the next year at this current pace of furloughs? They don't do the job anyway, but adding on this furlough. What do you think would be the population and the problem? Would it be an increase?
Oh, it would be a horrible increase. It would be just astronomical.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of the people who care for the cats do TNRM, which mm-hmm. is trap, neuter, release, and maintain. There are a few people who just feed. We hope that they will also neuter. Population
they should.
Control.
Well, let's stop. Let's put in quotation, big scarlet letters. If you feed, you shall spay and neuter.
Absolutely.
Period.
Yes. Yes.
If you can't do it, hire somebody to help you do it, or don't feed them.
Well, Carol, I've been working at this for over 30 years, and I have seen quite a change. There are a lot of wonderful people who are caring for the cats. They have maintained colonies. They, as you say, provide medical care for them, and for every cat that is neutered in a stable population, it's keeping others out because mm-hmm. they don't want new cats to move
right.
in. If you kill all the cats, say, in Kakaako, in a couple of months, you'll have as many cats back.
Because people dump them.
People
and other
dump
cats
them.
Migrate and they're wild cats.
Exactly.
So, but what is the state doing? Wait, we got a caller? Yes, Pam, good morning. You got a comment?
Oh, hi, Carol, and hi, Kathy and Angie.
Hi, Pam. Hi, Pam.
Hi. I'm just calling to share something about the Kakaako situation. In 2008, we wrote to Larry Lau, who was then with the State Department of Health, he had been threatening to fight people who care for the feral cats in the Kakaako area because of his stated public health concerns. And yet, the cat lady had taken up permanent residence in front of the Department of Health building, and there had been complaints. We had received copies of various inspection reports where the inspectors had gone out and found feces, found urine, etc., and yet the government is not taking action. And so I really question, you know, where are their priorities? And they jumped immediately when Mr. Michael clicks his fingers about the feral cats, but then they have a known, documented problem in front of the Department of Health building, and they do absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Pam, I completely agree with you there, because I do feel that it is pretty much a vicious cycle. That we have those state agencies that are, you know, almost perpetuating. And in the case of feral cats, I mean, the simplest way is to enact more stronger laws regarding pet neutering and spaying. You know, make it mandatory. But yet, you know, I think our Humane Society have spoken, you know, over the years very softly on this, and they don't really. You know, kind of like the legislature is not really hearing us loud enough regarding this problem, and I think we have to go to the roots of it instead of just taking care of it at the end of it like so many cat caretakers do. And it's really pretty much the animals that end up, you know, suffering and losing their lives. It's nothing off our backs, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But absolutely, yeah, the state agencies need to step up to their plate and really confront the problem at the roots, at the source.
Because it's their job.
Yes, it is. They're paid for it.
Not the public.
Right, and certainly at nonprofit, we don't get paid for it.
Yeah. Any other comment, Pam?
Oh, no, that's all. I just wanted to share that.
Okay, well, thank you.
All right, thanks.
You know, speaking of the animal damage control, let me just show you the damage that they can do and are doing. You know that we have the Laysan albatross here.
Oh, yes.
Very majestic, beautiful bird.
Yes.
What if I told you they have a practice of providing a service for hire to go and collect the eggs from the nest of the albatross and pouring oil on it, or taking it, and I don't know if this practice continues now, but taking the egg to UH to do a thermal radiation study. And so when you see that, they say, what's the disposition of those eggs? He says, well, we took it to UH, and they're going to incubate them. True, but the problem is they're not going to take them and incubate them to raise them and release them.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is the Air Force, the Marines, and other government agencies do not want the birds because air strikes. So now, you have government agencies here who's responsible for beating the hell out of fishermen for attacking the birds, and then hooking the birds incidentally, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then, on the other hand, their sister agencies, the federal government, taking that same bird, Judge Ezra goes round and round in circles with this, the fisherman, and the bird issue. But you don't hear anything in court about the Marines, the Air Force, or military killing birds. Same species now. We're writing legislation. We're writing law. You understand? So there's this disjointed behavior that's occurring, and the public don't know that. So it all comes back to, well, the animal rights people want to, they think the animals have rights, and so we shouldn't pay attention to them. But there's a bigger problem. And one instance is that I know firsthand, the ADC at that time, when this occurred, was at Lehui Airport, Kauai. And you don't want birds on the airstrip, they say. And I don't either. I don't want to die prematurely. I want to live forever. It's selfish, but anyway. So there's this little reservoir, drainage basin, on the airport, or airstrip, situated near the airstrip. So they take a trap, a live trap, because they're going to be humane. And they take this trap and anchor it, tie a rope with an anchor to it, so it wouldn't drift in the pond.
and they trap six ducklings, which are endangered, the Kalor. Problem is, they didn't compensate for the scope, and so the drainage filled up, drowned the ducklings, because they didn't go back for a day and a half or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it went unreported because it was endangered species. They should have gone to jail. There were six endangered ducklings killed. So how did their sister agency, the Fish and Wildlife, handle that? Give them a after-the-fact consultation. No prosecution. So when the public, you know, it's unfortunate. And one of the things I was going to touch on real quick is that the average person feeding cats, they're not trying to maintain a colony for the sake. If they are, then they violated the trust of TNNR to trap, neuter, release.
Mm-hmm.
And the purpose of that is to reduce the population.
Mm-hmm.
As you can see at the city hall, there used to be quite a few cats. They're dwindling down, and you don't see that because there's an aggressive trap, neuter, release program by citizens there.
Yes.
And right? And in other places. But why don't we see stronger, aggressive prosecution of those people that dump their cats, that are irresponsible and don't neuter, or when they leave in the military, go abroad, they can't take their cats, so they drive by and dump their cat in the park?
Well, this goes back to our supposed Humane Society agency that is supposed to be enforcing the law. It is illegal to dump a cat. But we find that the Hawaiian Humane Society is really behind, very, very much behind, in enforcing the laws that are already on the books. And I have found over the years that with regard to legislation, this just past year, we had a bill in the legislature to make it illegal to chain dogs. Because this is it's a horrible problem on our island and throughout the state. The Humane Societies all banded together and killed the bill.
Mm-hmm.
Because they said it would be too difficult to enforce. Now, it seems strange to me that an enforcement agency should have the right to say, well, you know, we just don't feel like enforcing
it. And they get a couple of $1 million from the city annually.
Yeah.
And God knows how much they're getting from donations from people who they're representing, that these are the things that they're doing.
Exactly. So, you know, that it's a very deep-seated problem.
Yeah. Well, we're coming down on close. Angie, any comment on?
Yes, I think regarding the Humane Society, just a brief mention. I am working with them regarding the dog chaining issues. And when dog chaining, we're talking about the dogs that you often see on the islands of Hawaii that are sitting out there 24/7. So Miami-Dade County in Florida have already passed no chaining laws, and they have much stricter laws than we do. And they're bigger, several times bigger, and more populated than the islands of Hawaii. So I think if they can do it, we can do it too. But the Humane Society, though they're very wealthy, they're worth $10 million. They fundraise, over $1 million every year. It seems like, you know, even though they're paid to speak up for animals and they have the contracts for law for enforcing all these laws, they do so with very soft voices, and I think they only come out when absolutely necessary, perhaps just to perpetuate the image that they are doing something. Not sure, but thank you.
Well, and the Humane Society, as always, you can call me, 524-1080, send me an email, carolcox.com, and you're welcome to come on the show. That is always an open invite, so we don't want to be attacking you or saying unkind words to you, but welcome if you'd like to. But anyway, these are the issues that are facing us throughout the state, and I think that it is, as again, it's conflicted. They attack the people. It seems that the way the system is designed is that if you, as an Animal Rights Hawaii, you're excluded from public meetings, so they're going to force feed the public anything they want. So it will make you digest what it is that they do. Then by hook and crook, they introduce legislation, they go before the legislators, the state and government agencies, and then they have another non-profit organization like Nature Conservancy and all, they partner up with them. Nature Conservancy can walk in, they're on committees and boards with the State Department of Land and Natural Resources.
Mm-hmm.
the Land and Natural Resources didn't reach out for the cat caretakers. It's an adversarial role. Yet they are doing what the state should be doing. Kathy? Oh, Mike, go ahead.
Well, the way I look at it is I don't think they're serious at all about the feral pigs. All it, you know, if they were serious, they would trap them, spay and neuter them.
Mm-hmm.
All this here is a contract that most likely goes to some cousin who loves hunting them anyhow.
Right.
Now he's getting paid $60,000 to pursue his sport.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the hunters, they shouldn't be objecting to real trapping and spay and neutering because the animal is released.
Yeah.
It's still out there.
Yeah. And you know, up high up above Waianae, we lost a large population of albatross. I personally suspect it was the federal government, because who else has an interest in these birds disappeared sight unseen? Just you can't even find a feather. Well, who would have interest? Air Force would have interest. Who would be doing the service? ADC or Wildlife Services? So we're in a very bad fix here, and unfortunately it's us against them, and we won't come up with a solution like Ed and Rick say. I mean, they've got good points. They have a right to ask those questions. But we are left to do the sweat work, and then they get the money.
Yes, and I just want to quickly add that it is really difficult to get information from them, concrete information and numbers and such, and we really have to, like, jump through hoops and wait for months and months before anything is, before they even give us anything, and by then, you know, some bills or laws have already been passed. So.
Kathy, your closing remark?
Well, I'm very glad that we are discussing this issue, and mm-hmm. if you are concerned about the well-being of animals in Hawaii, visit animalrightshawaii.org, and we will be happy to share our manaʻo with you.
Okay, well, thank you for joining us, Kathy Gogel, Angie Pham, Michael Ossendorf. This is the Carol Cox Show, and see you next week. Aloha. CarolCox.com.
My ticket, I got my load. Conductor, the holler, all aboard. Take my seat, railway back, and watch this train move down the track.
Stay tuned for the coming up show with Tina Cuisson shortly. Already.
Bring it on home to you. I think about the time.
Thanks for listening, and tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show on K108.
This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.